Hello, my name is Paul Boag and you're listening to Digital Insights. And today I want to talk to you about a recent customer experience that I had and what lessons that we can learn from it. The message I am currently sharing with my friends and family is don't sign up for BT Business Broadband or its mobile services. And I haven't even yet been connected to them and I'm already bad-mouthing the company. It all began when a cowboy builder four doors down in our street decided to dig up the road and cut through the telephone lines for the entire street. The following month of hell consisted of me fighting to run what is a digital business on expensive 4G, while Openreach negotiated with the local council for permission to dig a hole and fix the mess. In desperation, I looked at alternatives and discovered BT Business Broadband. Cheaper than my current ISP, and it had the huge bonus of a product they called 4G Assure. 4G Assure means I have unlimited super fast 4G if and when my broadband goes down. I could have speeds almost as high as my broadband by tomorrow, the sales guy promised me. On top of which, I could get access to BT's countrywide network of Wi-Fi. The sales guy also offered me an amazing deal on my mobiles if I bundled them into the broadband package, and I was over the moon. Sure enough, the next day, my business BT hub turned up and I connected it. Admittedly, it was nowhere near the promised speeds, but at least I then had a stable 4G connection that wasn't costing me a fortune. Why then am I holding BT Business up as a cautionary tale? Why am I warning others to avoid BT Business Broadband? How did BT Business lose my business before they'd even fully delivered the service? The answer lies in the disastrous customer experience they delivered the moment I'd signed on the dotted line. They truly snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. So let's break down what happened and see if there are lessons for us to learn about that crucial period when the customer has said yes, but they're still being onboarded. We begin with their abysmal communication. Clear and simple communication is critical to the post-action phase of the sales cycle. Buyer anxiety is high at this point as they are waiting for their service to be delivered, and they almost certainly have questions. That sense of anxiety is proportional to the level of commitment. So, in my case, a two-year contract that I was agreeing to had left me with a number of concerns and questions. During the sales process, I dealt with a single individual who answered all of my questions incredibly efficiently. We moved seamlessly between live chat and the telephone and email. However, the minute I signed, that changed. For a start, he suddenly stopped communicating with me, and I found myself instead being barraged with a confusing array of emails from various departments within BT as the sales package I'd signed up for got implemented by different parts of the business. I received emails from the people dispatching my router, for those people that were setting up my mobile, and those arranging for a BT engineer to visit, and of course those people that were setting up my cloud services. Often the emails that I received were light on detail or required me to do things, and in both cases I were left with questions that rarely seemed adequately addressed online. What's more, there was no ticketing system, so I couldn't ask my questions easily online, although they did have live chat, except that it often failed to work and required me to enter one of numerous order numbers that I'd been given. I was constantly entering the wrong number. Eventually, I gave in and picked up the phone. However, this is where things got even worse and was truly horrendous. The wait times that I had were indescribable. I waited for over an hour at one point, and when I did get through to a customer support person, they admitted that the wait time was regularly in excess of 3 hours. But even worse than that was when I did speak to somebody, they could rarely help me, instead transferring me from one person to the next because there was a lack of team integration. So what can we learn from BT Business's example here? First, we need to look at all of our communications with the customer across the various departmental silos. Are we overwhelming the customer with too much information from too many different people? Second, we need to ensure that these communications answer the customer's concerns and questions. For example, if plans are going to change, which they did in my situation, are you explaining why they're changing and outlining exactly how they're going to change? Finally, offer customers a variety of different communications channels and ensure that whatever channels the user picks receive a timely response. Expecting a user to sit on hold or even to pick up the phone at all these days is just not acceptable in today's business environment. People are too busy. When the BT engineer failed to show up for his appointment, unsurprisingly, and with no notification and no revised date, I was forced to call again. On that call, I was transferred a total of 5 times because each time the person I talked to couldn't help me because of their limited access. It became quickly apparent that BT had this strict departmental silos and that the customer was passed between these departments. Although I'd been sold a single package, I was actually getting a range of products from essentially completely separate business units. And that would have been fine if the back-end complexity of that was hidden from me as the consumer, but that wasn't the case. Not only was I being passed from one team to another when I called up, I also had to pass through security checks each and every time I spoke to a new person. That involved giving my name, my company name, my full company address, and my phone number. And even after I'd done all of that each time, they then had to send me a PIN number to authenticate me. Each time I spoke to a different person on the same call. It was easier to take a £26,000 loan, which I did recently, than it was actually to speak to somebody at BT. There was less security involved. Of course, it might have been my fault. The fact that I needed to be constantly transferred could be down to the fact that I was faced with a ridiculous number of selections in terms of numbers that I could call dependent on the nature of my inquiry. While my previous ISP had one number, BT Business overwhelmed me with many different options. I understand that a big company has many staff, but a well-designed system should route a customer to the right person. However, as I will explain in a minute, BT's phone system is not well designed, to say the least. Once again, there are many lessons that we can learn from my experience with BT Business. Staff have to have the authority and autonomy to help a customer, even if that help involves crossing over departmental boundaries. And most importantly, we need to hide organizational complexity from the user. That means integrating separate departmental systems together and to give the customer a single point of contact. But I mentioned that BT phone system, so let's go back to that. Because when you call BT, you're greeted with an automatic messaging system that asks you to explain in your own words why you're calling. In my many calls, not once did it seem to understand me, and it never transferred me to the right person. Not once in all the times that I called. It was technology for technology's sake. No doubt it sounded great in theory, providing a more natural customer experience, but the reality just sucked. But the phone system was just one example of technological shortcomings. As I've already said, live chat only periodically worked and security required me to re-authenticate every time I spoke to a new person. I would also receive several emails asking me to sign into some system or another, only to find that I couldn't because it wasn't set up yet at their end. After yet more calls, I was asked to just wait a few days. Why then had I received the email asking me to sign in? Finally, there was the abysmal BT Business app. Setting aside the terrible UI, this application simply doesn't work. Screens constantly show, oops, there's something went wrong errors, preventing me from seeing anything other than really my order summary. This summary lacked even the basic information such as an expected delivery date. And when I clicked on the help, I was sent to the website live chat, which required me to re-enter data I'd only just seen displayed on my screen in the app. So what can we learn from this technological train crash? First, you can't simply launch a piece of technology and walk away. Things like phone systems and apps need post-launch monitoring to identify problems and optimize the experience. Second, companies need to stop investing in new technology just because it's new and shiny. Too often, organizations start with a piece of technology rather than a user's need. That leads to ineffective apps and phone systems that are more frustrating than helpful. Finally, it's so important that these technological platforms are integrated together so that users aren't required to re-enter data. Now, I know this podcast is sounding like a big rant at BT Business's expense, and I won't pretend that it's not. But this isn't just me moaning about first world problems. The bad experiences with BT Business haven't just frustrated me, they've actually cost BT Business money. Every time I called BT Business, it probably cost them approximately £3. Then there's the cost of sending me the router and other equipment that I won't be paying for now. Then there are various admin costs, such as the return of my router and cancelling my account, and not to mention opening the account in the first place. Finally, there's the impact on their reputation. We now live in a world where one disgruntled customer can cause a major impact on a brand. Podcasts like this one and the associated blog post and the social media mentions all add up. And, well, they put people off of signing up with BT Business, so increasing the cost of sale and undermining the company's competitiveness. In short, a bad customer experience is not just frustrating for the user, it also damages a business and increases the chance that they're going to be supplanted by a smaller, more nimble, and more customer-friendly company.